Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Gough, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady is a financial guru, ladies and gentlemen. She's a financial coach, expert, and all those other good adjectives and verbs. It's Phoebe Dre. How are you doing today, Phoebe?
I'm great. Thanks, Gough.
That's good. I thought there was going
to
be more.
Welcome me to the podcast.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So why finance? That's the obvious question. Why choose finance as your particular career?
Oh, interesting question. Well, I actually left university and settled natural medicine, of all things, and realised that I didn't want to become a naturopath and talk to people about their bodily movements. So I headed overseas and then finally came back to Australia after many years and really still didn't know what I wanted to do, but just felt that I had to do something. So I went to university and did a basic business degree and absolutely loved accounting, much to my friend's surprise. I loved economics and statistics, kind of blew my own mind with that. And my father actually had an accounting firm. So I did what was the easiest path and started working for my father.
Fair enough. And so I've done a little bit of research. I'm not big on research, but I've done a little bit. And I do see that you are a big fan of helping female entrepreneurs. Why female entrepreneurs?
Well, funny you ask, because actually most of my clients now are males. So I did think originally I was going to help female entrepreneurs. And I was doing a bit of research myself recently and saw that in Queensland, there's actually more female entrepreneurs than male entrepreneurs. However, we are the least paid out of everyone. So out of male employees, Queensland. Okay. It was specifically Queensland research, but it's probably Australia-wide and even internationally on the general average side of things. But we were the most happiest. So we were the least paid out of female employees and male entrepreneurs, but we were the most happiest, which I think kind of explains why female entrepreneurs love it, because they do it around their kids. It gives them flexibility. But I want to change that, and I want to really help the female entrepreneurs to actually get paid what they're worth so they can do both.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. So let's start up a pretend business, right? So I'm Barry and I'm a plumber and I want to go out on my own. And before I stick Barry's plumbing on the side of my van, what's two or three things that I absolutely need to do to make sure that I'm giving myself the best chance of success?
Find yourself a really great accountant that can help you.
Like Phoebe Dre.
Like myself. So I... Exactly.
I'll give you a chance to plug at the end. Let's settle down.
No, but I mean like a tax accountant. So you need a really good tax accountant that can help get you set up properly from the beginning. And you need to make sure that you have all your numbers and ducks in a row before you get started.
Like what? Give me an example.
So be passionate. So be passionate about what you're doing, because there's going to be challenging days. There's going to be ups and downs. So be really passionate about what you want to do. Also, when you become, like if you're a plumber or even a lawyer or one of these types of technicians, you've done many years studying, you've probably worked for someone else, and all of a sudden you're jumping out to become a business owner, it's a whole new skill set. So it's a whole new knowledge that you need to understand, a whole new work ethic, leadership skills, everything. So I really do, like I know you said not to plug myself, but I think finding a really great mentor to actually help you transition from being a technician in your business or technician on the tools to actually becoming a business owner is a really big thing that you should do. But things you need to do before you get started. So make sure you get the business structure set up properly. Make sure that you have a good accounting system in place and understand how to do it. And if you don't get someone who does, can do that for you properly so you don't get yourself in a mess. Make sure you know that you've got the right insurances in place, right contracts, the right cover, so you minimize any risks that are associated with businesses. And just get some good networks around you of people that have been there before you, that can you find a mentor that can actually help you to make sure, and they can shorten the journey from that struggle straight when you first get started trying to do everything and wear all of the hats to becoming the true entrepreneur, the true business owner, and enabling you to live the life of your dreams.
Is that something that you see kind of often, is like old Barry sticks Barry's plumbing on his van without really thinking it through? Do you see that on occasion, and you're like, oh, buddy, you've missed steps 1, 2, 3, and you've gone straight to 4?
Yes, definitely. People have what I like to call an entrepreneurial fart, and they think, I can do this better than my boss. So they jump straight out there, buy themselves a truck, get a business name, and off they go. And it's only until something happens often that they realise that they probably needed to do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Like what? Give me an example of what could go horribly wrong.
Well, they might not have the right insurances in place. And if something happens on a job site and they didn't realise they had to have the right insurance in place, then that can really backfire on them. They can take on other employees and but not do it the right way. So they could take on a contractor when really they should have an employee and have contracts in place with that employee. All of a sudden the contractor or the employee gets disgruntled. They put in a claim to Fair Work or to the government, you know, ATO, and all of a sudden they find themselves going through the courts and realising that they didn't set themselves up properly and protect themselves properly from the beginning. And they're really important things you need to check off and make sure you're doing correctly before you just jump into being a business owner.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Now, with Beer Nuts Productions, I make films. So what I do is, excuse me, that was very impolite. I burped. But what I do is I always make sure that I don't know if this is the right way, so I'm asking you. So what I always do is I look at the production account. I've got X amount of dollars in the production account. Then I look at my scripts that I've already written and I go, okay, well, I can't make that, but I can make that for X amount of money. And then I go ahead and I make that film. I will never, ever make a film if I don't have that money in the production account to start with. Now, I know some people out there would say, let's say, for example, a film's going to cost $20,000 and they've got $15,000, but they say, well, you know what? Over the next 3 months of pre-production, I'll make up that $5,000 and everything will be fine. I never want to be in a situation where all of a sudden I'm shitting my pants because holy shit, I haven't made that extra $5,000 in that 3 month time period. So I always make sure I have the money in the production account before I even look to start the project. Firstly, am I doing the right thing? And secondly, do you see a lot of people maybe overstretch and extend where they shouldn't?
I always say that you shouldn't use overdrafts for your business or borrow money. As if you can do it without borrowing money, you're in a much better, stronger position because you don't have that incidence where if it doesn't go well, all of a sudden you've now not only can't find the $5,000, but you may have lost already another $15,000 trying to do the film and then it didn't work out, you know, it bombed and you've got no return whatsoever. So I always try and say to people, try and fund your own business. So set money aside. So if you're doing a movie now, for example, and you know in the future you want to do this next film and it's going to cost you X amount to do that, then start budgeting and putting money aside for that. So when it comes time to do that next movie, you've actually got money there ready to go and you're not trying to scrimp and save around and get everything together. I like to actually help people set up the right bank accounts and actually use those bank accounts as their cash flow mechanism. So I love, there's a business author that I absolutely love. His name is Mike Michalowicz. If you haven't read his book, Profit First, I highly recommend. It's kind of like the Barefoot Investor for business owners. And it's a really fantastic book that helps you get your money under control and actually be able to pay yourself a profit from your business from day one, rather than always putting everything back into the business and never actually having anything for yourself.
So I'm doing the right thing. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, you are. That's great. So a lot of business owners, the biggest thing I found with business owners was that they would not understand, especially tax. So they'd never set aside any money for tax. That was one of the biggest issues with business owners, is that get to the end of the year and they'd have spent all the money or put the money back into the business and now they don't actually have any cash for the taxes. So actually having money aside to do your production and then having money aside as well to do your taxes, having your rainy day account is really important.
Well, that's another point that I wanted to raise. So how much, like, is there a percentage, like roughly, obviously, is there a percentage you should invest back into your business and a percentage that you should keep for a rainy day? Like, is it like a 70-30, 70 into the business, 30 for a rainy day, or 60-40 or 50? Like, what would be a good sort of guideline for, you know, investing back into the business and saving for a rainy day?
Okay, so with putting money aside for a rainy day, I highly recommend having at least 3 months worth of business expenses in a bank account set aside. So I often even recommend having a bank account separate to your main bank accounts. So it might be with Rabobank, ING, I'm not recommending any of them, but just separate from your main business accounts and build that up over time so that's either 3, 6 or 12 months. And if something happens in the world of economics that's gone on, like you've seen what's happened over the past couple of years, you've got a fund there that's going to help give you peace of mind. It's going to give you comfort to know that even if your sales drop off dramatically in a really short period of time, you can keep going, keep running your business and keep seeing yourself through until you can change tack and make a new direction and start offering different services out into the marketplace. So it just gives you that peace of mind. Once you've got that, then really what you invest back into the business is what you want to do to help grow it, knowing what your expenses are. But keeping an eye on your expenses as well. So it's not just a simple formula. I also recommend that you go through your expenses every single month and make sure you're not spending anything unnecessarily. But you also want to pay yourself as well. So you want to make sure that you're able to pay yourself a salary so that you can live the life of your dreams. At the end of the day, most people start their business to share their passion with the world, but they also often want that freedom, and that means financial freedom as well. So making sure that you're actually getting a market rate salary and a profit distribution from the business to help you to create the business and finance success that you want.
So what about though, because like I thought that it was just sort of rainy day and invest in the business, but there's a few different, like you were saying to me a bit earlier before we started recording about like you got to put stuff away for tax and
yes.
There were the things that I hadn't really thought, well, I mean, I thought about them, but I mean, like I just sort of like, that's my business fund, that's my rainy day fund. Like if it's a pie chart sort of a situation, there's more than just the two slices.
Definitely. So personally, I, in my own business, I put 25% aside for operating expenses. I put 20% aside for taxes, but obviously if your business is growing, I'm still a new business, but as it grows, I'll be putting more aside for taxes because obviously my income will be going up. I then put 5% aside for profit or creating that rainy day account. And then I also put aside my wages. So I make sure that I'm putting aside at least 40% to pay myself a market rate wage. So of every dollar that comes into my bank account as income, I split it up into the separate accounts. You could have more accounts than that depending on the business that you've got. So you might have staff and wages and other things that you want to put money aside. Or you may have, like yourself, a production or movie that you want to create. So you want to make sure that you're putting money aside to enable you to do the next movie that you've got planned to do within the time frame that you want to do it in. So it really depends on you and your business. But yes, it's definitely more than just 70% business expenses, 30% overheads, etc. It's a lot more, you know, around operating expenses, taxes, setting money aside for future projects, paying yourself the right salary, and having that rainy day account as well.
Because yeah, you don't want to pay yourself too much, because then obviously you're taking away from the business and whatnot. Yeah, so
correct. Yeah. You don't want to pay yourself too much, and I sometimes see that with businesses, they start paying themselves this extravagant wage when the business really can't support that yet. But making sure that you are actually working your business and setting goals in your business so that you can start to pay yourself what you really are worth and what you want the business to pay you. And the reason I do what I do now is because when I had the accounting firm, I often found that business owners were the most stressed, the most overworked, and the least paid of all of the people working in the business. So I want to help business owners to turn that around and create the financial success they want.
And what about marketing? Because marketing probably goes hand in hand with the financial planning side of things, because obviously, I mean, your marketing needs to be successful so that your financial can be, word it better than me.
Yeah, so when I look at, when I go through this with clients, actually, we look at their income and what they want to create. So we link that to their freedom number and they say, okay, well, this is your freedom number. It could be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month that they want to have to enable them to cover all their business expenses, pay their taxes, and to pay themselves as well. And I say, okay, well, if it's $20,000 a month that I need as my freedom number, and that's what I'm working towards, what does that mean for sales? So if I sell a widget that's $1,000 per widget, then I need to sell 20 of those widgets every single month to enable me to hit my freedom number. So out of that then comes your marketing plan, because it might be, well, you need to sell 20 widgets, but you might need to speak to 100 people to sell those 20 widgets. So how are you going to get your marketing and your sales strategy right to get you all of those leads to enable you to sell your 20 widgets to hit your freedom number, which is your financial plan? So it's all 100% linked. And I think once you understand the numbers and how they all work together, it's like this light is flicked on in your business and all of a sudden you can see everything clearly and it all just seems to fall into place.
Now, another thing that we had a psychologist on the show a few months back, and she was saying that you can have this major problem, you can feel so overwhelmed and you're super stressed, but if you take a step back and you do actions 1, 2, 3, you'll find that the problem's not actually that big and it's really easy to solve. Is financial sort of stuff the same?
I believe so. I think if you put a plan in place and you take the steps that you need to take towards achieving your goals and you just do the one step at a time, it can help you to eliminate that overwhelm. Often people are really scared of their numbers. They're scared of finance. It's something that hasn't been talked about, you know, when they're growing up with their family, or it was always, you know, an uncomfortable conversation. So just starting to understand understand, to learn and to grow and increase your knowledge around it, and actually starting to have those uncomfortable conversations and putting in place a plan can really help you to move forward and to reduce that overwhelm and actually achieve the goals that you want to achieve and make it less, far less stressful for yourself.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, financial stress is like a real thing. Like, I mean, that's why I do what I do in regards to making sure I have the money first before I start making a film, so that I'm not going, oh my God, please, I need to make this extra couple of $1,000 before this date, or I'm going to be in a whole host of trouble. So that's why I don't want to put myself in any kind of financial stress or poo. So, like, tell us a little bit about financial stress a little bit and how we can sort of calm the farm.
Yeah, well, financial stress is really real, and it's probably one of the number one reasons why marriages break down. There's issues in the home. So I think having that open conversation, putting in place a financial strategy and actually working within your budget, not overspending. So as you say, Goff, you've got a project planned and you know you need X amount of money and you make sure you've got that in the bank. So actually doing that and being strict around yourself and the way you use your money so that you're not putting yourself under financial pressure, I think is really key. I think today's society, there's a lot of instant gratification. Finance and credit is so easily and readily available that often people find themselves in unnecessary debt, which puts a lot of stress and strain on themselves and their relationships. And it can lead to all sorts of, you know, mental health issues, marriage breakdowns, family breakdowns, alcohol drinking. You know, so it really is a big issue in today's society. So I think if we actually start teaching our kids and actually having the open conversations, helping to teach them how to budget and start implementing those strategies in the home and also within your business, can be really key to making sure that you don't come to those stressful times and you don't have to face those consequences of what can happen.
And like you say, instant gratification. So we'll go back to old Barry the plumber, instead of just going, I'm going to just buy me a U-Butte van, you might want to just chill out for a month until you have said money for said van, that kind of thing. Just
exactly.
Calm down and don't jump before you can. That's completely the wrong phrase. But, you know.
No, I know exactly what you're trying to say. And that's exactly right. You know, you see a lot of people, they're trying to keep up with the Joneses or what their mates have got, where maybe if they just did a bit more research, they found an option for them was just as good but not as expensive. That can really work for you as well. So you're not putting yourself under that kind of pressure of, I've just got to keep up with everyone else and have this, you know, $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 vehicle that's now going to put me in debt that I'm going to have to repay over a certain period of time, rather than, as you said, just putting aside the money, saying, well, this is my budget, this is what I'm going to work for. And when you've actually got the money, then buying the vehicle or buying whatever you want rather than going into debt to buy it.
Can we make budgeting fun, Phoebe? How can we make budgeting fun?
I love budgeting. I think budgeting is fun. I'm one of these crazy people that actually has my own accounting software for my own personal expenses. I've got my own personal profit and loss, my own personal balance sheet, and I actually really love it. I am an accountant. I'm a number nerd. But I think it is fun. And I think if you do it as a family, you talk about it and you know, the jar system or the envelope system, whatever you do, can make budgeting fun and make yourself aware and also your family, your children, aware of how to budget and how to the gratification that you actually get when you've saved for something, when you've worked hard for it, you've put the money aside and now you actually can enjoy what you're buying.
No, that's very good advice. Very good advice. Because, I mean, I always just think about my own industry in what you are saying. And so there was a script writing mentor that I had, and I said to him one day, oh, I hate editing my scripts. It's like the most boring thing in the world to do is editing my scripts. And he's like, Goff, you're looking at it all wrong. When you edit your script, you're making it better. You're improving it. So you need to be enthusiastic about it because you're actually making it better. And would that be kind of the same about budgeting in a weird kind of way?
It is. If you're in business, I think you really need to actually review your business expenses, your general ledger every single month, and not look at it as of like, oh, I've just got to do this other chore that my accountant or my coach is telling me to do, but actually think about it of how it can actually plug money leaks in your business every month. So expenses tend to creep in unless it's something that you review regularly. You actually don't know sometimes where your money is going. And I know I did it in my own business when I had the accounting firm many years ago, and we actually saved ourselves $5,000 a month in expenses
so you that can were going out. Your situation.
Exactly. And that was, you know, every dollar that you're spending in the business is another dollar that you don't have in your own pocket to use to enjoy the life that you want to live. So, you know, if you think about it, like, I'm going on this mission to find these money leaks in my business every month, and I'm going to get really excited about the process and actually find money that I can be using in my life to enjoy what I want to do rather than spending in the business, then it makes it fun and enjoyable, and you actually really start to understand the business, the mechanics of how it works, and you really understand the numbers, which then links into your marketing and your sales strategy and offering a better service to your clients and whatever else. It all just kind of improves.
It's the circle of life, Hakuna Matata.
Exactly. Lion King. I love that movie.
So, final question, Phoebe. Is Bitcoin a load of horseshit?
Good question. And I don't know the answer to that. I personally don't have any Bitcoin. I have been offered it by quite a few people and I've politely said no. But I haven't done enough research into it myself personally to give you a qualified answer.
So research is king.
Exactly. King and queen is do your own research, get your own advice, and you make the decision whether you think it's horseshit or not.
That's very funny. Now, if we want to learn more about Phoebe Dre, where can we go? What can we do?
So you can find me all on the social media. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I also have my website that you can go to. And I've actually just recently launched my own podcast, Profit to Cash. And I do run monthly workshops called Business Profitability Intensive. So if you love in-person workshops and you're around the Southeast Queensland region, then reach out to me and I'll let you know my next dates for the workshops. But I am holding one in November on the 24th at the Helensvale Cultural Centre.
And you have a bit of a catchy little nickname going on though. Will you say?
Yes, Phoebe Dre, the cash flow pocket rocket.
And where did that come from?
So one of my friends a few years ago when I was at a workshop with her, she just looked at me and said, "Oh, Phoebe Dre, you're the cash flow pocket rocket." And I thought, right, I'm going to steal that. Thank you very much.
It's wonderful marketing. I love it. It's a great little slogan.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Phoebe. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Gough. It's been my honour to be here today.
Your honour. Let's not get carried away.
No, anything to get the word out there of how people can create success with their finances. I love the opportunity to share.
No, it's cool. Very cool indeed. So that just brings us to the end of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe. Leave a friendly comment. 5 stars is always good. And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.